The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
The book of John is just an amazing book. When you decide you're going to go through pretty fast looking at it, when you get to the content, it kind of slows you down. And Alex and I are enjoying going through the book of John. We hope you are. And we're in John chapter 4, verse 43. We're about to see the second one of the miracles that Jesus performed recorded. And matter of fact, verse 54, the last verse of that chapter says, this was the second miraculous sign Jesus did in Galilee after coming from Judea. So this is Jesus working in people's lives. Alex, I love the different conversation Jesus has in John, but also when you see the progression of the miracles and them growing and even climaxing to raising Lazarus from the dead, again, you see John's purpose of declaring the deity of Jesus Christ, don't you?
Well, you do, and in verse 48, Jesus said unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. I think that early on in the ministry, Jesus did these miracles, and it did prove to the people, it convinced the people that he is indeed the Son of God, and it convinces us to this day, because nobody could do what Jesus did unless they really were God incarnate.
And so here we have, at the end of 2 days, verse 43, it says, Jesus went on to Galilee. He himself had said that a prophet is not honored in his hometown. Yet the Galileans welcomed him, for they had been in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration and had seen everything he did there. So when he was in Jerusalem, he did so many things and word passed on. They were there at the Passover, so there was celebration. Along with that celebration, though, there was expectation. Now, the expectation, I'm not sure, was his teaching or his ministry. I think it was the miracles. You know, they were celebrating who they were, but have you noticed that about people? You know, they kind of have the expectation. If you did it there, you ought to do it here. And maybe even better and bigger, right, Alex? You know?
Oh, yeah, exactly. But you know what? The thing is, Jesus is not limited, and he can always do above and beyond that which we think. But, you know, familiarity, there's that old saying, familiarity breeds contempt. And in the case of being local and being known, you know, he says a prophet is not without honor except in his own country or his own region. You know, in the case of Jesus, Galilee, when you grow up around people, they think they know you. I mean, they think that they know all about you. And that's why very often a person's maybe reputation or influence is bigger, you know, in places other than home turf. But speaking of the power of Jesus, the influence of Jesus, I've always been struck by 49 and 50. This royal person, probably somebody that was an officer of Herod, but a nobleman, it says to Jesus, sir, come down here ere my child die. Please come with me, or my child is not going to live. Jesus said, go your way, your son lives. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him and went on his way, and the child was healed. Isn't it something that God, no matter where Jesus was, God could heal? And the beautiful thing about it now, I mean, sometimes people think that God is distant or they're far away from God. It doesn't matter where on planet Earth you are, God is there.
Amen.
And God can answer our prayer. God can meet our need. God can perform a miracle because God is ever present everywhere. And isn't it something that Jesus, from a far distance, could heal that child?
It is. Now, here's what it is. Not only his presence, but his power. So if his presence is there, his power is there, because wherever he is, that's who he is. And he's an all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present Lord. And that's who he is. So it is amazing. It makes me think of us today. He is at the right hand of the Father, seated there. And we pray, we make intercession for others. Guess what, Alex? We can be on this side of the country, and we can be praying for someone on the other side of the country. I mean, you do that quite often. You travel, you go to California, you go to Colorado quite often, and your wife doesn't always go with you, but I know you well enough, you're praying. You're praying for your wife, and Angie's praying for you. She's in North Carolina, you're in Colorado. Guess what? Those prayers are just as real as if you were beside her. That's the Amen. Power of prayer. And I think we see that here, that here Jesus spoke the word, and this centurion. The rest of the story says, while the man was on his way, some of his servants met him. They couldn't wait. I thought about that, man. They were looking. As soon as the son was made better, they said, we got to go find him and tell him. So they went with the news that his son was alive and well. And notice this inquisitive father. He asked them, when the boy had begun to get better, and they replied, yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock, his fever suddenly disappeared. Then the father realized that that was the very time Jesus had told him, your son will live. Now, and then the next phrase, I think, intrigues you as well and blesses us, doesn't it? And he and his entire household believed in Jesus.
Amen. The whole household. This, again, is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. Yeah, you know, the miracles, and let me say this, not only the miracles, but the compassion. That, I mean, Jesus didn't come just doing amazing signs. I mean, he could have maybe turned a rock into a tree. That would have been a miracle. But the miracles Jesus did, they were miracles of compassion, miracles of really compelling proof, and miracles that confirmed who he was. So he touched lives and made people better. He helped people understand and believe, and he did miracles that affirmed and validated his identity, his deity.
And again, that is what he did, his second miracle that we have, turning water into wine. Now, if you remember what he did, we began chapter 4 with him leaving the Jerusalem area, at least Judea area, making his way through Samaria to Galilee. This is in Galilee. Chapter 5 begins, he returns to Jerusalem. And I want to make this, because I think people, it helps people to understand what they're reading. John is going to cover most of the Judean ministry of Jesus and the conversations. So Jesus, now he spent most of his time in Galilee, you know, because when he was around Jerusalem, the Sanhedrin was after him all the time. Now, they would follow a little bit into Galilee, but they weren't as bad and as angry, you know, Alex. So Jesus would come and go out of Jerusalem in Judea, but he would spend most of his time in Galilee. But John covers this in Jerusalem. So afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city near the sheep gate was the Pool of Bethesda with 5 covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, would you like to get well or be healed? Now, Alex, Jesus already knew how long he had been ill.
Isn't that something?
Let's go back, and then I'll turn it back to you. I just want to make a statement. This is John sharing with those who are reading. This is God in the flesh. This is he.
Amen.
You know?
Well, you know, the question, do you want to be made well? That might sound like an unusual question, and I think we might assume, well, of course. Let me just say this, and I don't want to sound uncompassionate, and please forgive me if what I'm about to say sounds harsh, but not everybody who's suffering from something really truly wants to be delivered. Do you believe that, Bert?
Well, let me tell you an experience I had. It was the first place that I served full-time. It was a mission here in northeast Mississippi, and it was on a dead-end street, wrong side of town. That's where God called me to minister the first 3 years of pastoral ministry, Alex, and it was an experience. And we lived at, you know, difficulty was all around us, people hurting. Mm-hmm. We had a man come in close to the end of the service one day, and he was there, and I could tell he was, you know, asking for things, and he had a bad leg. So he was really just asking people, how about you? Would you help me My leg is hurt. And I went up to him and I said, I sure will. I want to take you Monday morning. Where do you live? I want to take you to the doctor and we're going to see what we can do to get that leg repaired and healed. He said, oh, no, no. He was using that as a way in order to try to get people to give him money, you know. And so he really didn't. I said, you don't go see a doctor and see what we can do about getting it better. Alex, there's some people, not all of them are doing that. I don't mean to say that. But when you said that, I couldn't help but think of that. There are people who would rather stay the way they are than have God do something in their lives, even physically for them, brother.
Well, exactly. And you know, perhaps this is another topic for another show, but let me say this. When you need something from the Lord, and we all do, we all need things from the Lord. We all need to grow in the Lord, but sometimes, I mean, we need to be reconciled to a person, or we need to get our finances straightened out. Let me say this, and Bert, you feel free to disagree, but God doesn't do miraculous action when there's known truth that we haven't yet responded to. I think oftentimes people say, you know, I want God to do something for me, and God just never does. But if there is known truth that you're supposed to act on, whether it's to go to the doctor or stop a bad habit or forgive something that you've nursed for years and years, or to let go or to repent of a sin— And I just want to say this, God is a merciful God. God is a miraculous God. God is a God who always does things right. But a lot of time, not always, but a lot of times in life, people suffer from things. I was just a couple of weeks ago counseling a family, and the person that brought this particular family to me said, Alex, nobody can help this family. They've got issues that are just beyond help. Well, within the first 10 or 15 minutes of doing some questioning on the wife's side, on the husband's side, and definitely on the side of some of their adult children, there were some egregious sins that in no way are appropriate for the life of a Christian. And my point is, and I want to get back to John chapter 5 here, but before God intervenes with, you know, extreme measures to come to your rescue, we're going to have to respond to known truth, whether it's to turn to Christ and be saved, repent of a sin, mortify the flesh and overcome some carnality. Is it fair to say that, Bert, that before we expect miracles from God, we've got to do our part on our side of the table in fully yielding our life to Him?
Alex, that was good expression. Let me, when you were saying that, I could not help another principle that you observe in the Bible concerning salvation. If you respond to the light that God gives you, He gives more light, you know?
Yeah.
If you say, there's a God, I can see it in creation. God, I don't know all the ways He does it. I just know He does it. He gives more light if you respond to it in consciousness. He's going to give more light. So I would agree. That's a great statement there. So you need to do what God wants you to do, and do it when?
Yeah.
Now.
Exactly. Adrian Rogers, great man of God, he said, delayed obedience is disobedience. Folks, this is Exploring the Word. We're in John chapter 5, plus prayer, your phone calls, and much more. Stay tuned. Exploring the Word is back after this.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Peter Oppenheim, General Counsel for the Senate Committee on Health Education, Labor, and Pensions. He advises on matters related to employment, retirement, and public health. Proverbs 11:14 reminds us of the importance of wise counsel. Where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Peter Oppenheim as he advises the U.S. Senate. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
People don't mind you mentioning God as long as you keep him generic. But Dr. Tony Evans says it's a different story when we name the name of Jesus Christ. He'll share a personal example as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
They sent me a letter. They asked me to come down to the city hall and open up city council with prayer, but just don't mention Jesus. Because we got Jewish people, we got people who don't believe, so just keep it generic God. So I went down there. And I said, okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, now the city council has asked me to pray, so I can only assume they want me to reach you. You've said that there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. So in order to do what they asked me to do, I got to bring Jesus in to get it done. First of all, I want to thank you for creating the city council, because if you didn't create them, they couldn't be here. And according to scripture, everything that was made by Christ Jesus, so I got to thank Jesus that they're here. And then, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for creating government, because according to the Apostle Paul, you created government, the same apostle who met Jesus on the Damascus Road. And if there are any people here as they make their decisions who don't know Jesus Christ and that he died on the cross for their sins and rose from the dead, would you make it plain to them today? In Jesus' name, amen. So let me make this clear. If you don't want to be here by Jesus, don't invite me. Because I want to be an overcomer, and an overcomer declares Jesus Christ is Lord.
Learn to master the discipline spiritual overcomers have discovered. Check out Tony's CD series, The Jesus Challenge, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
This is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Everybody here looking for a Bible in our own hearts and across the land. Everybody looking for a revival. Lift up your voice and say amen.
Rise up, take your bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Hey, that's from John chapter 5, 7 through 9, and we welcome you back to Exploring the Word. Hey, I want to say a couple of things. I want to give the number. Yesterday, we just had a very wonderful broadcast. People were praying, and we had Francine and Laura Perry. It was just really, really special. We're going to have them again. We're going to pray some more. So here's the number if you want prayer and you want to share a prayer request. It's 888-589-8840, and we're going to get to the phones in just a minute. And Bert, before we go too much farther, I want to remind people about the Shoebox Ministry, Samaritan's Purse.
You bet. Amen.
We love this ministry. Real official name is Operation Christmas Child. Sometimes we say OCC, but I think just about everybody knows about the shoeboxes, and we send the love of Jesus and the joy of Christmas and a toy and some gifts, but most importantly of all, the gospel message. And Bert, millions and millions. I was on a phone call yesterday with some of the folks that work with Samaritan's Purse, and I don't know that they know the exact number yet, but it is in the millions of people that are touched every year.
Every year.
And we want people to participate in Operation Christmas Child.
We can do that, and you can do that even now by going to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC, SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. You can give. If you weren't able to do a shoebox, their finances is real. And Alex, they're doing something. You know how you look at a globe and you see how many islands are in the Pacific. Now, there's a lot in the Caribbean, but when you look at the Pacific, you see them all over. They are doing their best to get to all these islands in the next few years with Operation Christmas Child. Now,
that's amazing.
It is. When I love geography, and on my desk, you know it, I have that globe. And when I first heard that, I went over there and I started looking, and I said, I knew there were a lot. But when I started seeing that, I was amazed. So Operation Christmas Child, you can still be a part by going to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC.
Mm. Well, you know, before the break, we were talking about the desire to truly let God have control of your life. I was thinking about this miracle of the man, you know, that was healed there at the pool. He had this infirmity 38 years, and no doubt his legs and limbs would have atrophied, you know. People that are in the hospital for a matter of weeks, very often their limbs can atrophy. But Jesus says, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. Okay, that's verse 9. That's significant. It's a miracle. But how could Jesus do that? Well, if God created the human race, he can intervene within the human race and take control over diseases and heal us. But here's the thing. It says, that day was the Sabbath.
Oh man.
I mean, now hit the pause button, folks. Yeah. It wasn't, praise the Lord, this man has been helped. Here, the Messiah is in our midst, and a man's pain and suffering is alleviated. Yay. No, it wasn't that. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. Not, wow, what a miracle. You know, you're standing up. He answered and said, he who made me well said, take up your bed and walk. They asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Hey, by the way, if God says, take up your bed and walk, you obey and take up your bed and walk.
No matter if it is the Sabbath?
Yeah, because he says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.
Yes, he is.
So he is the Lord of the Sabbath. By the way, when God commands you to get well, get well. And anyway, they were not rejoicing that a miracle had happened. And frankly, all right, there's reason to rejoice because a miracle had happened. But I think there would have been reason to rejoice, Bert, because in their midst was the miracle worker.
Amen. Now, Alex, I want to go back just a little. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. Notice it says there were many at this place, and Jesus spoke to one. Now, I don't know who all was involved. I don't know why the man didn't have help. There was the way of the King James, the stirring of the waters. We don't know all that. We're not getting into that. But I can't help but think the one. You know, God does what
he's
he does.
He's a personal God.
He is. And he touched this man. I guarantee you, 38 years, Jesus had compassion on him. It doesn't say the man recognized or asked him. Notice, in this case, Jesus went to him. Now, the official concerning his son in chapter 4, the man came to Jesus. Don't try to put God in a box when it comes to these things, Alex. Even today, I pastored a church, and we had two men in the church. They were deacons in our church. Matter of fact, they lived on the same street, and they lived side by side. They came down with cancer at the same time. And one was able to be healed and lived a long, long life. The other one did not make it very long. The treatments did not work. It was difficult. And the one who was, you know, that died earlier, he was the one that was talking about, oh, God can heal me if he wants to, and he had great faith. The other one was saying, I don't know what's going to happen. When his thoughts and his ways, Alex, you can say what you want to, they're a little bit past finding out for us, aren't they?
They really are. And that's why, let me just encourage you folks to be encouraged about the times in which we live. Hey, I'm concerned about the culture, the country, the election. I really am concerned, and I'm really, really praying. But at the same time, God does all things well, doesn't he?
He does.
And Bert, would you concur? There have been times in life when you have to wait, and maybe you've got something you're deeply, deeply burdened about. Folks, I promise you, be patient. God's way is always the better way.
Amen. Good word. Let me remind them of a Bible story. You know, the best illustrations probably are Bible stories if you want to know the truth. I was taught in seminary and even in college in our preaching class about, you know, you got nature, which is really God. You've got relationships and everything, but the Bible is great. One of the best ones about delayed prayer is Moses. Here the children of Israel are in bondage in Egypt, and they had prayed for deliverance, and God let Moses be born and Moses be spared. Moses was being educated in Pharaoh's house, and then he left for 40 years. God was in the process of answering their prayer for 80 years, but they did not know it, you know? And so sometimes when God is delayed and it doesn't happen, even in your lifetime, it doesn't mean God's sitting on the sideline doing nothing. He is active. He's active in our lives. And when I get kind of discouraged about praying for someone, I do go back to that illustration about the people in Israel, in Egypt, calling on God and knowing, hey, God was raising up Moses to do something. And we don't need to forget that, Alex.
Well, amen. Amen. It's always time well spent to wait on God. But Jesus, there's a crowd and there's a multitude. And it really, the wording indicates like a mob, just a huge crowd of people. So Jesus withdraws. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to this man who was carrying his mat or his bed, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Bert, here in 14:15, I mean, there's a lot going on here. Jesus said, you know, "Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Now, what was the degree that his physical condition was tied to his spiritual condition? I don't know. I'm not going to say that all disease is unconfessed sin. I mean, because it isn't. I mean, it's a fallen world. There are diseases and there's germs and there's pathogens in the air and there's birth defects. And look, there are some ungodly people that are well, and there are some very, very, very godly people that battle illnesses sometimes. So I'm not going to go there. But at least, Bert, I get the implication here that at least to some percentage, some degree, sin was a part of this man's condition. But Jesus says, "You've been made well." This reminds me of Mark chapter 2, when they let the man down through the roof. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus healed the paralytic, and he said, "Son, your sins be forgiven." So Jesus has the power, I think what he's showing here, not only to heal physical maladies, but even more importantly, to forgive sin, the most grave of spiritual maladies.
Do you get this sense that God can intervene for someone who is not saved and touch their lives physically? Do you catch?
Praise the Lord.
He really does. And I've heard people say, "Well, God, he healed me. He answered my prayer. I know I'm right with God." Well, that's not a sign that you're right with God. The sign that you're right with God is that you have obeyed him in repentance and you've turned to him in faith, surrendering your life to him and walking with him, Alex. Yes, I praise God for some miraculous things that's happened in people's lives. But like you said, this is a little bit more puzzling than some of them. Some of them you can follow step by step, you know. But this one here, this man, Jesus stops and talks to him. He's not crying out to Christ. Jesus heals him. "Take up your mat. You can walk away." He did. And then he went back and told the Jewish leaders who it was. You know, Jesus sometimes would tell people, "Go and tell no one." He didn't tell him this man this time. And he went back and told the Jewish leaders. I don't know if he had an ulterior motive or not. There's a lot of puzzlement in this action.
It is. Yeah. Now, wouldn't it be nice if the man was saying, "Hey, you got to know who healed me and saved me. Yeah. His name is Jesus." Now, you get the implication that the man went and told the authorities because he was very intimidated by them. But so he tells them it was Jesus. Verse 16, "For this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him."
Yes.
"Because he had done these things on the Sabbath." Now, let's just think about this for a minute. All right, to break the Sabbath, that's bad. But what's worse is, you know, here's how I'll rectify this. You know, you sinned by working on the Sabbath, so here's how we'll make it right. I'll murder you. No, that's doesn't follow at all. But it says they sought to kill Jesus. But look at the word persecute for just a minute. It says the Jews persecuted Jesus. Part of the word persecute is the word pursue. And the wording here really means to chase, to fight somebody. Now, here's an example in our own day. Bert, I have debated atheists that read the Bible obsessively. I mean, I know some pagan, God-denying atheists, and they know the Bible forward and backward, but they didn't pursue the Bible because they were pursuing God. They read the Bible to try to play gotcha. Aha, God, I found you made a mistake, God, and therefore I don't believe in you. Let me say, to pursue God just so you can deny him, very spiritually dangerous. But if you're pursuing God because you want to know him, you know, Augustine said, I believe that I may understand. See, if you come with the desire to disprove God, you're just not going to find the light, except in rare occasions. Okay,
there are those that do.
Lee Strobel did.
Yeah, I thought of that, you know, and Josh McDowell, you know.
Yep.
Now, notice the rest of verse, it's 18. He says, and I'm reading, by the way, I'm reading from the New Living Translation Bible. He called God his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. They no one called the Father, Father that way. They had to address him, and Jesus always called him Father, except when he was on the cross and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? The only time we have that. But here he calls him his Father, and they understand Jesus was making himself equal with God. Now, again, you got to go back to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. Yes, he was. He didn't just make that claim, Alex. He was testifying. And there's a difference in making a claim and testifying of truth. Jesus testified of the truth that he was God, equal with God. And they, again, go back to that. It says they wanted to kill him. This is early on. We find out later on they're still trying, and they finally succeed. But when Lazarus was healed, if you remember, it even got worse because they said they not only wanted to kill Jesus, they wanted to kill Lazarus, who was the evidence of God's great grace. That's amazing. By the way, Alex, in this last segment, we're going to have prayer time. Laura and Francine Perry is going to be in with us.
Yes.
We had
yes.
people praying, and we're receiving prayer requests. But those of you that have prodigals that are way out there, for whatever reason, you'll have priority. We want those because that is Francine and Laura's passion to reach those.
Pray
who
for the
were,
prodigals.
Yes. And so we had such a... Now, we're going to pray for the others when we find time, but we're putting a priority on those that have loved ones that are out there that are just away from God. Alex, a lot of families are in that condition, and we just felt the need to pray one more day for them.
Amen. I think it was wonderful, Linda. Laura and Francine are in the studio with us.
They sure are. They're standing outside, Amen. Ready to come on in, and we're looking forward to that. And if you didn't get their testimonies, remember, inhisimage.movie, and you'll find out. Go to inhisimage.movie, and you will be blessed by the movie of the American Family Studios.
We have always made the case that Christ is over culture, that Christ is over ethnicity. I am a Christian before I'm anything else. I say that to anybody, in anybody's face, in anybody's post, all right? I am not ashamed of the gospel. This is the only source of salvation that people have. It's not going to be in my blackness.
That's right.
You can't get saved because... Okay, let me take down.
Airing the Addisons, weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
I think it's one of the things that as Americans, we don't often understand the difficulty and the challenge of living and working in a second language all day long, every day. Your brain is just literally exhausted.
Serving as a missionary abroad brings a set of challenges that we don't often think about. Let's be faithful to pray for and encourage the missionaries we know. A thought from Exploring Missions. Heard Sunday mornings at 4 Central and Sunday afternoons at 1 Central on American Family Radio.
Then David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." So David put them off. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. As David prepared to face Goliath, Saul tried to outfit David with Saul's personal armor. But David didn't have Saul's armor when he faced the lion or the bear. And David recognized that he didn't need the armor to slay Goliath. Today, many Christians yield to the temptation to be hipper, cooler, even a little fuzzy on the clear teachings of Scripture in order to face the Goliaths of our day. But Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men." We don't need a cool light show to be effective ambassadors for Christ. All we need is to offer what we have freely received. We know the transforming power of Christ because he has transformed us.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This is Dr. Stephen Rummage with today's Moving Forward Minute. In Psalm 91, God tells us, "I will protect him because he knows my name." Have you ever been to a website that required a password to log in? Or have you ever entered a neighborhood that had an entrance code outside of the community? Sometimes we can mistakenly think that the name of the Lord is like a password or security code that gets us in. That's not what the psalmist means when he says, "because he knows my name." God tells us that he desires a relationship, and there's no password required. This relationship with God means that he gives us shelter of protection forever. To know God is to know who he is, and we know that he truly is the Most High. We can trust in him, we can look to him, and he'll protect us in his name. For more resources, visit movingforwardradio.org.
Join me every Sunday morning at 8:30 Central for Moving Forward right here on AFR.
You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bertie and Alex with you, and we're having a special last segment, and it's prayer time. Alex, you know, one of my heroes was, I don't know if you ever met him, Manly Beasley. He was an evangelist that yes. I got to talk with him. Of all the preachers that I had on my list that I wanted to have in the churches where I was pastoring, he and Vance Havener are the only two that I did not get to have. But I got letters from both of them turning me down. That's pretty good when you get letters turning them down.
Do you still have the Vance Havener
letter? I got that letter. I go through that. And he wrote it himself. But Manly Beasley was a great man. But he said nothing significant ever happens without significant prayer. Amen. And so I believe that with all my heart. So we're going to have some significant prayer today. And Laura and Francine Perry are with us, and they're prayer warriors. The prodigal, their testimony is seen in hisimage.movie, and we're praying. But today, if you have a prodigal that you're praying for, whatever the reason, there are prodigals out there, we want to pray for them. We're going to make it a priority. But those of you that's called in, and we want to get to your prayer too. But if you've got a prodigal out there, we want to hear from you. It is exciting when that prodigal comes home. Do you remember the song "When God Ran"? Alex, do you ever
hear? Oh, yes.
That was about the father seeing the son. You know, the father, it's really the story. We call it the parable of the prodigal son, but it's really the story of the faithful father, which represents God. And,
very true.
You know, and I love that song. So we want you to call and share. And that number again, 888-589-8840. Give us a call. Marty will get you on, and we're waiting for you. But again, we've got people online. Laura, I'm glad you're back.
Thank you so much for having us back.
Francine,
well,
it's good to have you back.
Thanks for coming back, everybody.
It was good yesterday, wasn't it, Alex?
Yes. It really was. Thank y'all for making time. And I want to say yesterday you all really ministered to the listeners and to myself and Bert, too.
You really did. It was powerful. We're going to go to the phone lines, and we're going to go to Brandon in Texas. Brandon, welcome. What's your prayer request?
I'm going to Navy, starting Navy boot camp, and at age 39 in about 2 weeks.
Wow.
And just pray spirit protection over my kids, because my wife doesn't walk with the Lord, and he actually practices witchcraft and all kinds of other.
Well, Brandon, we're going to pray for you. Francine, his name's Brandon. Going, you heard about it.
I didn't hear the very beginning.
Going to the Navy, and he leaves those children with a wife that's unbeliever, even practicing witchcraft. As a mom, I'm, you know how to pray on that one. Just seek God, would you?
I would. Father, we just come to you, Lord, and our hearts are just even burdened for this young man who is going off to the Navy and leaving his children, Lord, in the care of someone who is not a good influence for them. And I just pray that you would, first of all, work in the wife's heart, Lord, and that.
Yes.
She would even see the deceit that she's following, and I pray that you would the blinders would come off of her eyes, Lord, and that she would see that she needs you. And I just pray that she would turn to you so that he can go off to the Navy knowing that his children are being well cared for. And, Lord, I just pray that you would even put other people in his children's lives that will be a good influence, and that God will comfort his heart as he will be away from them. And I just pray you'll put a hedge of protection around his children so that they will not be so influenced by their mother, and just pray that any seeds that he has sown in them into them will come to fruition during this time.
Mm. Amen. Thank you, Francine. Alex, Amen. We're just going to go through the lines, and we got them. It's full up, so we're going to pray for
Amen.
Them.
Let's Amen.
Go to Mississippi and talk to Dee. Dee, welcome.
Yes.
What's your prayer request? We want to join you today.
Okay. We have a 32-year-old son who mailed us a letter. He lives out west. He mailed us a letter saying he was going through transgender reassignment. He's not our son anymore. He wants to be called Sierra. And we can't accept that. And so he has walked away from us. We have
so
no way
sorry.
To get in touch with him.
Okay, Dee. We, in place of advice, we're going to
yeah.
pray.
What did you say his first name is?
His
or I'm
first
sorry.
Name is-
that's I don't know that we need to say it on the air. Sorry. I'll pray for him. Oh Lord, you have searched this young man's heart, and you know him completely. You know when he sits down and when he rises. You know his thoughts before he thinks them. Clear a path before him that he will be able to find you again. You are acquainted with all his ways, and you alone know exactly how to reach his mind and win his heart. Lord, you know every word that he speaks. Remind them that you see him and hear him. Convict him and remind him that nothing he does is hidden from you. And I pray that he would remember that he is fearfully and wonderfully made, and that your works are marvelous. Help him to know and understand that deep within his soul, and show him how precious and great are your thoughts toward him, Lord, and how much you love him. In Jesus' name, amen.
When you ask about knowing his name,
yeah,
I love that song.
Yeah.
He knows my name.
Right.
First time I ever heard it was a 9-year-old orphan boy from Uganda singing that song.
Wow.
And he knows my name no matter where they are.
Right.
And D, God is, if you heard us earlier, we're talking about Alex. You remember what we said concerning Jesus? He spoke the word, and that man's son was healed at a great distance.
That very hour.
That's right. Amen.
Thank you
Amen.
So much. Let's go to Ohio and talk to Steph. Steph, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing well. How can we pray for you today?
I wish that you would pray for my children and my grandchildren as well, but especially my daughter. My daughter is so far away from home, and I haven't seen her face in 3 years. And she has not only just turned away from the church, but is just broadcasting her secularism. And it is so painful to see. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And she will not even answer a call from her mom. She doesn't want to hear from me anymore. But I pray mm-hmm. more than anything that she would turn back to Jesus.
Okay.
And
mm-hmm.
for my son as well, because he's in charge of my grandchildren. And I definitely want them to know the Lord.
Yeah. Alex, I just feel like Francine needs to make this prayer. Is that all right, brother?
Yeah, absolutely.
Francine?
We're uniting together.
We are. We're praying along with her. We want you to know that. Francine, would you lead us?
Father, I just pray for this lady and her burdens, Lord, and regarding her children. And so I pray that her adult children will learn to hate evil. And I pray that you will enable them to restrain their feet from every evil way, and that they will learn to keep your word and look to you to teach them the right way to live. I pray you will protect and deliver them out of the hands of the wicked way that they are in, and may they not become a companion of a fool. May you aid them to stop walking in the counsel of the wicked, that they would stop standing in the path of sinners, and stop sitting in the seat of scoffers. And I just pray that she would learn that their delight would be in the law of the Lord, and that her children would meditate on your word day and night.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Steph, we're praying. We have. And let me remind those of you listening, if you do like me, write their names down. Keep it with you. Pray for them, especially the next 24 hours bombarding heaven. Let's go to Texas and talk to Iris. Iris, welcome. How can we pray for you today?
Can I just say that this is such a perfect timing. I just found out that my niece that's in her late 20s has re-embraced a lesbian lifestyle and is living with a lady. She embraced it when she was in prison. She was adopted when she was about 12 years old by my sister and brother-in-law and was raised in church, but never had a personal relationship. And the Lord chastised me a year and a half ago when I saw her, and he said, why aren't you praying for her every day? So I have been since then, but I just know this, and I'm just believing that this will bring my sister and sister-in-law and brother-in-law closer to the Lord through this, because they have to be on their knees now, and this film is just such amazing, so amazing. I shared all this information yesterday, but my heart is breaking. I've known her since she was a little girl,
I
know her parents' heart are breaking.
Well, Iris, we appreciate you calling. Be sure and go and watch this movie. It's free. It's online. InHisImage.movie. I want to tell you, it gives you hope. It gives you great hope. It's filled with hope. And so we want to do it. Alex, would you mind praying for Iris and her niece?
Yes, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God who answers prayer. Lord, not only can you hear our prayers, but you're able to intervene and do something. And Lord, all of these prayers that have been prayed, Lord, we agree together. And Father, we need the power of your Holy Spirit to sweep across this land and deliver people from bondage and sin. And Lord, Iris and her niece and the people mentioned in the previous calls as well, Lord, your will be done. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, there's no higher prayer that we can pray. There's no other name upon which we can call. We ask for the name of Jesus to be known throughout this land,
Lord,
that darkness would be cast away, chains would be broken, deliverance would happen. People caught up in sexual sin, gender confusion, all manner of blindness and unbelief, Father, cast Satan far away from this land, and may millions be delivered. And we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Lord, set us free and bring us to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Let's go to Alabama and talk to Fred. Fred, welcome. How can we pray for you today, brother?
For my three kids. We adopted them when they were young, and they had a lot of trauma and difficulties before we got them. We raised them in church, and they all three had a relationship with Christ, and as they've become adults, they have turned away.
Listen, we're going to pray for you, Fred. Laura's going to lead us in this prayer. We're agreeing with God, and I just want to tell people, God knows where they are. He knows what they're doing, and He intervenes, and we're praying He'd intervene and draw them to Himself. He's amazing God that He can convict and encourage at the same time. we usually choose one of those, but God is able. Laura, pray.
Yes. Lord, we just come to You on behalf of these three children. Lord, they are burdened down by sin, and even though they pretend they are not, help them come unto You. Show them that You will give them rest. Help them to take Your yoke upon them and lay their yoke of sin down at the cross. Teach them and help them to learn of You and to walk in Your yoke with You, going where You go, doing what You do. May they find rest for their soul in You. Show them that the enemy has lied to them, and it's not the world's yoke that is easy and light. Help them to see that the yoke they have taken upon themselves has been an unbearable burden. Make them desperate to be rid of it. Make them to mourn and weep over their sin as the children of Israel cried out to God in their bondage, and may they truly find rest for their soul. Help them to see that Your yoke is easy and that Your burden is light.
Amen. Amen. Fred, we're praying. Let's go to Texas and talk to Joanne. Joanne, thank you for calling. How can we pray for you today?
Hi, good afternoon. Love your show, and thank you for the prayers and all the prodigal children out there. I have a son. He's 19 years old. And I prayed how I could tell you guys this, but he has an addiction with THC, marijuana, not really other types of drugs that I'm aware of, but he had a full scholarship for college for baseball. Showed up one day, the next day, just decided to drop everything and say, I don't want to play baseball anymore. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to live under y'all's roof. We hate y'all. He does live with a girl, and they're lost souls. We raised and believe in Christ, and we've staked our house in all four corners to pray that the demonic spirits doesn't enter, because we feel like Satan has a hold over him. And no matter what we do, this other personality comes out where it's argumentative, just very ugly when we mention God's name. And he's just nowhere to be found. He refuses to, you know, call us, follow us. We used to have him where we can track him, but now we don't know where he's at. He's been gone for several weeks now, almost 4 weeks.
Well, Joanne, we got enough that we know how to pray, I think, and Francine's going to do that. And I interrupt you because time is fleeting, and we want to make this petition to God for you. So, Joanne, don't think I was saying what you had wasn't important, but we want to pray. Francine, would you lead us in this prayer?
Father, I come to You on behalf of Joanne and her needs regarding her son. And, Lord, these are stories that we hear from many, many mothers of prodigals. And I just pray for Joanne's son in particular that You would disrupt the relationships that are driving him away from You and help him to seek after You alone. And Father, may he never be lukewarm in his relationship to You, but may Your word be like a fire in his bones so that he will grow weary of holding it in and stop resisting its pull on his heart and mind. May he never be satisfied with this life that he's going after and think to himself that he has need of nothing. May he not have any peace in his rebellion against Your word, but God, we pray that we will see him to learn to love and delight in Your word alone.
Amen.
Amen.
What a beautiful prayer.
Amen. Francine, thank you. Laura, thank you. Alex,
thank you.
What a day. Let me give these names. We couldn't get to you, but we're praying. Sean, Lawrence, Jim, we're praying. May God bless you, and may God deliver those prodigals into God's hands for grace.